First order of business is let's go around the table, introductions and statements of any conflicts of interest. And starting with that.
Scott Weiss with the police department.
I'm Dan Reisfeld. I have no conflicts of interest to report.
Rich Daniels, and I always have a conflict of interest to report. Actually, this time too. The first was my attendance at the National Night Out, where I had the opportunity to speak with a number of members of the police department. Not on the topic of the Civil Service Commission, but all social contact. The second is my service on the county commission that allocates treatment tax proceeds. The department is a recipient of funds under two programs and is currently a component part of of two applications for funding.
I should amend, I was also at the National Night Out and did speak socially with the department as well, but nothing to do with our issues here.
This is Trenton Bird. I also was at the National Night Out, but no conflict of interest, of course.
And I'm Joe Vanderstoop, and I dished popcorn at National Night Out and chatted with a number of officers about social matters. No conflicts of interest.
Okay, and last but not least.
Hi, Lynn McSherry. I'm the Civil Service Commission examiner.
Okay, and next up is public comment. There are no members of the public present to offer comment, so we'll hold that for the remainder of the agenda. New business. Has everyone had a chance to review the regular meeting minutes from last month?
And if I could just ask here while you're reviewing, would you prefer that I send this to you by email rather than having it present or both? Or
if it's an advance, speaking for myself, if it's in an advance package, I can look at it and go, I got it.
So you would like to have it?
Yeah. Okay. But that way we can just, if we've read our email and we've all done our homework, we can come and say, I've looked at it, and these are the changes, and it speeds up the time that we have to get.
And I'd like to say that I do that, but I don't always read it ahead, so I definitely
you
like that.
Okay,
I
want to
talk about that. That's not qualifying, because I'm like you. I'm not always well-behaved. I don't always do my homework.
Okay, will do. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
Okay, are there any changes indicated to the minutes? Entertain a motion to approve.
I move that we approve the minutes.
I second the motion.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Unanimously approved. Okay. Next up, the status report by the chief examiner. You're up.
Okay. Just a comment. There's two attachments to your package there. There's the resolutions that were signed, and I just want to thank you because Julie was able to come in between meetings and work with me on making sure that those were the correct resolutions, and so we were able to sign them in between meetings.
Nice.
And so that really does help facilitate things. And I think that both of these resolutions, both the agency disqualifiers and the certification process, will enable a more efficient process, and that's really what we're trying to go towards, so I really appreciate that. So we're at right now, in addition to the two that were just hired, we're looking to potentially hire another candidate. We're not going to reveal any details on that just yet, as we only have a conditional offer out. Right now, I'm currently in process for the next set of interviews for October 8th and 9th. Those will go out tomorrow. And I'm using the revamped invitation for the participants to notify within 24 hours, no less than 24 hours, I should say, so that we can get another candidate, if possible, to fill that slot, because that has been a big issue. And then speaking of efficiency, I would like to recommend that we have one citizen representative rather than two. There would be one citizen, there would be one from our department here, one from another department, so we'd have three, good number, odd number. And I believe it's important for us to do this because I'm having difficulty getting the citizen members participating because, you know, we have people who are very busy. This is a busy community. people travel, they do other things, and so I think it's sufficient. I did check in with Attorney Snyder on that to see if he had any objection. He did not. He thought that might be a better idea, so I just want to secure your approval to go forward in that direction, if that's okay, if you don't have any discussion.
I think in the past we did that, because I remember in the ones I was on, there was only one person from the community. It's not. We've done it in the past.
I have no objections.
I don't have a judge, but I do have a question. And it's been a long, long time since I've done new hire interviews. I've done a lot of promotional interviews, and we've had Joey, one carefully chosen community member. And what we tried to do is make sure we had a 360 view of perspectives. Mm-hmm. The only caution I have is that sometimes when we would get the community member, they would tend to be maybe a wallflower and not really be fully involved in the interview to the same extent their sworn counterparts were.
Okay, so you don't have any wallflowers that I've seen so far.
Okay, as long as there's no wallflowers and we got the 360 view, I'm comfortable with it. If we have a wallflower, then we may want to add numbers.
Sure, got it.
My one concern, of course, is that the civilian member is usually the most likely to have a conflict at the last moment. And if you have two coming, one could not show up and you'd still have one. If you only have one coming, if that person has a conflict or a scheduling issue, you're out. You don't have any.
Just so you know what my process is right now, and that could be something I just haven't seen yet, but I'm out 30 days at least with securing the commitment by the civilian member. So at that point, they know they're committed. I'm not seeing canceling.
You want to have somebody as an alternate?
We have an alternate. We could do that.
Yeah, maybe that's good. And then they just.
But it kind of leaves them hanging.
I know Amber has mentioned before that she had problems with people calling the day of or having something they had to leave for.
The panel members.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Yeah,
the officers, as you know, from other, they're being paid.
But I think too, you could cover that when you call them.
Yeah,
or if you're that's really representative. Yeah. So if you have any reason to think you can't be there,
let me know, and then we'll look for an alternate.
Maybe have someone on hot standby.
Do you want someone as an alternate, just so you said, hey?
I think if after the conversation, I'm feeling like there's not a real serious commitment. I can really tell pretty much what's
going
on there.
Yeah.
Then I think I'll do it. If that's okay with you.
Yeah.
Well, okay. And please continue your efforts for more panel members because we need them.
How many do you have now?
We probably have about maybe 12 on the list, but
we need more than that.
There's various reasons why people can they just come and go pretty frequently in terms of the time of year or what's going on.
We just had, did they just have a Civilian Police Academy class finish, or no? Is it starting? I was thinking.
It's usually in the winter.
Doc, do you know?
Yeah, it usually graduates in the spring. It starts
But usually if you go back to that class, they're usually people who are interested in law enforcement, they're interested in this, and they're usually a very fertile group,
I know the four or whatever that I got in touch with recently, I think there was one that I wasn't able to make contact with.
Yeah, it wasn't either. I know that one person I had on the last panel that you recommended.
Okay.
I've got, I think, two.
Okay.
And they alternated days.
I can just ask, you know, we can all think of people we might know who would be good.
Well, we did some recruiting. So we've had contact with all those.
Either
people.
Contact or they didn't, I mean, I've had repeated contact and they didn't reply, or I've had contact on the list there.
You know, we just did, of course, a national night out, but maybe next year you might want to have a little sign-up sheet if people are interested there somewhere, suggested to Carla to have it there.
And I think in this case, in the most recent, Carla sent out, or will
yeah, she sent out those
Carla
emails
sent to all Citizens Academy, which
all
I think
graduates.
All of mine
yeah.
that I got in touch
she
with
sent it to the alumni
had come that way.
Done it.
Well, I think it really is important to be someone that you know, that have a sense
right.
of their background, judgment, et cetera. Anyway, just get in touch with me. We can be happy to add to the list.
All right.
Make more contacts. The word barrier.
I have somebody in mind.
Okay.
And I'll.
All right.
get in touch with her first. And then.
And I have another thing to ask you to talk about. We've had a lateral candidate from U.S. territory apply. Maybe now we have two. So I don't know if I'll get this request from the second one or not. But we've been asked to conduct a Skype interview to avoid travel. And my understanding is that Amber had requested that we not continue doing that. From my experience, I don't recommend it, but that's just me saying I don't recommend it. But I'd like to hear your thoughts and how you might like to proceed on that.
I've done these before. I've done a lot of these interviews before. You're right. I mean, it's not quite the same
feel.
It's
not the same.
But I guess if someone's that far away, if they're like in American Samoa or somewhere like that, and it really is a very long distance for them to come, I mean, we want to give them the opportunity. So maybe we decide, maybe there is some exception that should be made for distance or, you know, travel. What do you think of that, Richard?
I think we discussed it at quite a long length, maybe about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, I remember.
And I think the concern, I'm still of the mind, is that I'm personally opposed to it, and two reasons. One is when you're interviewing people, you are concerned with how they answer your question. And to me, that gives me about 10% of what I'm going to evaluate the person on. There are a number of nonverbals. There's tone, there's content. There's a lot of things that you can't capture, even with high-resolution Skype. And so I'm going to be evaluating the candidate. I have to evaluate the candidate differently just because of the limitations of the medium. And that's not really fair to the candidate or to the others because we're now not evaluating them equally. We're evaluating them inequally based on the limitations.
Yeah,
it's
a very good point because, you know, then there's either all Skype interviews or...
The second is even probably a little more profound of a reason. And particularly laterals. And, you know, I've always been of the mind that your best people and your worst people are going to be laterals. And it's really skewed in favor of the worst people being the laterals. Those that are going to lose the job they have and need to get another one. There are very few people that have an affinity for the area or desire for your agency. And that's where they want to be. And those are the prime people you want to get. If it's the cost of the airline ticket is the filter, that guy that we want is going to pay the ticket. Okay, if he's in McMurdo Sound in Antarctica, he'll buy the ticket to come to Bainbridge Island. If we have someone who's in this big pool of, I got to get whatever job I can before I lose this one, we probably want that person to self-select out of the system by not buying the ticket.
Those are a lot of the same arguments we had in the past.
Yeah,
that's
what I see, too.
Yeah. It's tough, but I think, Richard, I tend
and
to...
And I say that having a friend who did try to get a job while she was stationed at McMurdo Sound and had some commuting difficulties in so doing.
Penguin Express is not running today.
I think we made the right decision here.
I think so.
We're not
having so much difficulty finding candidates.
But it's got in or Joe?
I agree. I think we should keep it as it is.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
This.
All right. Well, thank you for that feedback. I appreciate it. Okay, so I just want to let you know, doing formal disqualifications, I've done, in addition to people who have removed themselves, at least 10 of them. We don't have any pushback, so that's good. We're getting these lists culled down to people who really are interested and are highly qualified.
Good.
And I just want to mention that what I'm seeing happen now in the short time I've been doing this is a general trend toward less qualified or experienced people. So we're planning to maintain a current list. Hopefully we'll get one or two more candidates for sure out of this next round. But I think maybe we might need to go to quarterly because they're not popping up very quickly. I just want to let you know what I'm seeing, and we can look at that later on.
I was watching the news the other night, and there was a story on how this was a national news story about how difficult it is for police departments throughout the country now to recruit candidates. And we've talked about this for some time, but now apparently it's getting a lot of attention.
See it. You see somebody out of high school that has no experience.
Yeah.
You know, it's just... incredible. Okay, so that's it for me. Okay, next.
Potential future topics. That's kind of wide open. There's one we started last month. Scott, I'm glad you're here because your comments and thoughts may be kind of critical on the one that I want to bring up. And it kind of dovetails with what you just said. And I will bet a substantial amount of money that whoever does go to the conference next week is going to hear comments from John at PST about the changing nature of the applicant pool and the challenges of the new applicant pool. All of those things taken as a whole present some problems to us, and when you have problems, it's best to get ahead of them rather than get hit by them. This island is very, very unique in its composition and its need for police services. And probably isn't going to appeal very well to that, you know, 22-year-old just out of the Army or that 18-year-old just out of college that wants to go out and throw all the bad guys in jail and hook and book all day long. And believe me, I've had to train a lot of those officers, and I've seen that trend. You know, let's go out and arrest the world.
I hear you.
No, let's stop and think this out first. Okay. The island has a certain appeal, I think, to a more mature officer, to one that maybe has a little broader perspective on the job and more problem solving than the hook and book. There are a lot of officers that start off with that mentality, and by the time they get to their early 30s, realize, whoa, I got something wrong. I want to go someplace nice where my kids have good schools. And that's where our draw is. The island's a great spot to live. And Scott, help me out, but out of our officers, how many actually live on the island?
You know, I wish I had the list in front of
me. Our best guess, if you don't
have.
Yeah,
I
was
going
to guess half, too.
And then to twist the question a little bit, how many would want to live on the island if they could?
Well, I think the majority would.
Okay. So I think probably one of the things I think we want to be forward-looking, and it's getting a little bit outside of the charter of the police commission. So I understand we're pushing bounds here. But I think it would be very, very wise for the commission and for the city, because we're separate legal entities, we vote for the city, to really focus on recruitment and retention, and maybe more so on retention. In my recollection, we've lost 3 officers to other agencies in the last couple of years.
Sounds about right.
And we got one back.
We
had to do some special work here in the commission to make that work.
Can I ask what caused it? Was it a spouse leaving for another job, or was it they were unhappy with being here?
I think they would rather work here than the place they were at once they got to the other place.
Oh, I mean, is that true for all 3?
No, for the one
that just the one.
Yeah,
the
one that went to Bremerton,
I recall, that. Wanted to work in where there was more in Seattle.
Right.
Yes, exactly. More action. Kind of like what
that
officer was younger, I believe.
We lost one that we didn't have very long to the sheriff's office.
Yes.
Yeah, right. He was here almost 2 years.
What was that about?
He just wanted to work in an area where he knew a lot of people because that's where he worked originally in the jail.
Uh-huh.
And so he worked here, went to the academy, worked here for I think about a year or so.
Did he live out in the county?
He did.
Kitsap?
He did.
Yeah.
So see, in 2 years, we had to invest almost 6 months in him before we got any productive work.
It's probably $80,000 to $100,000.
Yeah. And so I think if we could, put the heads together between the city and the commission to try and work some avenue on the retention side, with the prospect of getting people, make it possible to get them on the island, and have some more firmer ties to the island, kids in school, family.
Is this different from other departments? This kind of ratio of departure?
I don't know. I've only ever worked in this department. I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm just curious about
that. It is kind of unusual. Now, where I came from, we were a big department. We had 10,000 sworn, and we would hire about 500 a year. For the 500 a year, generally, once someone made it to the 5-year career point, it was very rare to see them go before 20. Once you got them fully on board, fully trained, they stayed, they didn't go. We had people that didn't work out in the beginning, the people that wanted to get their foot in the door, that had a target, they wanted to go someplace else. So that turnout, what I've seen here, has been pretty high.
Well, but if you're saying that in L.A. it was approximately 5 to 10%, we're about 5 to 10% as well. And it's about the same percentage if we lost three officers and we've got a department of 25, 26, right? So that's 10% is
approximately. In 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, in 2 or 3 years.
So it's actually less.
Was L.A. losing about 5%?
Well, yeah, I know. The 5% we're losing, those are people who are 20 and 30-year veterans who retired.
Oh, okay. So, if you include
the officers you see here haven't been 30-year retirements. They can go in other places.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what you're talking about is important. One of the things that, some sort of if you're talking about retention, it has to be some remuneration. Something that gives those officers the ability to live here.
And it's not just compensation. Money in the wallet only goes
so
far.
No, but it's necessarily money. It can be, housing at a lower mm-hmm. price. I mean, right now the city just passed this, I don't know if you're familiar with the Suzuki situation. And they're going to have 100 units there, of which something like, I want to say 60 to 70% of them are going to be subsidized. And you're talking about 7 units. So why couldn't we take and go to the city and say, why don't you allocate 2 or 3 of those to, officers in our police department at a subsidized. Now, they would still be eligible to apply anyway if they are below, how they calculate this, there's below a certain median income. But I don't know enough about the math of...
Scott, what are we talking about for income? Let's say based on the potential new contract, what would be a starting salary right now?
I don't know what the new contract is.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Around $75,000 a year.
That's an entry-level officer. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know whether that would hit the... Probably wouldn't hit the...
It has
to be below whatever it's... It's the average...
I doubt you would get low income. It'd be a certain bad signal, too. I think if you said a career officer is going to be low income on the island, that might set off...
Well, see, you're not really presenting it that way. I think that then... I agree with you. That's not the way you want to present it. You want to present that maybe we're going to offer some housing. The city is... I don't know.
It seems to me there was talk of that with teachers also.
Yes. There's been some work in that way.
Same issue with teachers. Affinity to the community.
Development, Northtown Woods was developed. The city maintained ownership of the property on several of the properties, so income qualified, which even two teacher incomes fit that.
Right.
Could buy the house... not the property. Later, they could buy the property if they wanted to, but it got them in there. I mean, there's all kinds of ways you could do that. Well, there's a woman on the island who's bought 10 homes, and she rents them to teachers for $500 a month.
Wow, that's nice, yeah.
There's been some thought put into how can we make this island affordable, and a lot of it is housing. I mean, that's the thing.
Here's an opportunity, because really there's expensive. An opportunity to stare us in the face right now. And literally last night, approve this, and it's a lot of people who are not in favor of that. There's a lot of controversy, but the bottom line is, it's been approved. The developer will be building these units, and so forth. And Suzuki is in a great location. It's walking distance to the schools there, and it's very close to where the future department's going to be. So, I mean, literally walking distance, actually, now that I think about it. So it's walking distance to the school, and it's walking distance to the future police department. So why shouldn't we go to the city and say, hey, would you be willing to allocate? And I understand what Richard's saying. We don't want to present it as this is you have to present it in the right way. But if that's something that helps us recruit young officers or even keep
retain
those for a year. We know
the cost of housing is what keeps a lot of people from living.
No, but it puts
into
the sweet spot of what Richard's saying. I mean, here you have a chance to... have your kids, you can live on the island, you're walking distance to good schools, and you're walking distance to your work. That's a very, very powerful recruiting tool.
Yeah, exactly. You hit it, this recruiting tool. It gives us the ability to compete for that small percentage of laterals we really want. Because we'll bring the experience in. The other thing that concerned me here, and I was kind of pleased to say I was wrong in a lot of initial conclusions, but there's a certain core of experience you get from having been exposed to a lot of police work. And when you're 20, you keep up with that. That's cool. When you're 30 and you want to slow down a bit, it's nice to have that volume of experience when you come in. So when you have an active shooter, you go, okay, this is my third one, it's not my first. You get the vehicle pursuit, it's my tenth, not my first. So if we can get that kind of lateral, we really come out ahead. We get the experience that we want, we get the maturity and the seniority that we want, we don't have the big training overhead, and we don't have the risk of losing that person shortly after we invest in the training overhead. So if there's some way we can kind of make everything come together so that we can recruit the best and retain the ones that we got, I think we're a lot better served than doing interviews every month.
And the other thing about this housing, I want to go back 1 second, it doesn't have to be subsidized. It can simply be reserved for. In other words, we're not necessarily giving them a much lower than market rent. We're simply saying we're allocating a certain number of those units for new officers to the island. If they, at some point, then want to move, you know what I'm saying? They already have a place where they can, there's communities that do that all the time. And so you'd be able to say, hey, come here, you know, a place to show them, to say, here's where you can live for the first year if you want to move somewhere else, but here you're going to be able to walk to work, your kids go to the school. I think that's very, you know, even if it's two or three, and like I said, we don't have to give them substantially reduced, they don't have to pay substantially below market rate rents, because if they're making a good income, but you understand what I'm saying. But
yeah.
You're saying those units are dedicated to...
Yeah.
And
that would be a starting place. The city might be more open to getting a notion of public employees in general.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
and the city's already...
They're
already heavily subsidizing this. Yeah. You should read. I mean, the city's putting out $7 or $8 million that they're putting into this project.
How do you guys want to approach this? Because it does go a little bit beyond the...
May I ask one question before? I mean, I think this is in general a really good idea, but I'm also thinking, isn't there an exit interview when police officers leave?
There is.
Tell us why you left. So before we jump too far thinking, oh, this is the answer we're looking for,
Kate would have all that information.
Take a look at
why
are they leaving.
That's good to look at.
No, you're right, true. But I was thinking more about what Richard was saying, is that the attraction to recruit, and anything we can do to make it more.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of saying, also what it says is that the community supports their police department. It's a message. It isn't necessarily whether it's a subsidy or not. It's an indication, hey, we've allocated housing for our officers on this island.
We'd like you to live there.
You don't have to live there. You're not required to.
Right.
But the community cares enough about the department to say that we're willing to do that. It would be the same with teachers or anyone else. It's saying to someone, hey, we value your work here. That's really what it's
so saying. I mean, who would you think we should
really interesting.
Might talk to?
Yeah. Well, Elaine asked a good question. I think we need to do justice to it. It's really, how do we proceed?
That's what I'm saying.
We have a box around what the commission does.
Well, that's an opportunity right at this instant moment. We'd have to go to... So I think the council vote was 4-3. It was pretty close. But I believe that Cole voted against it. He's the mayor. They weren't thrilled with it. There's a lot of issues around this. But anyway, the point is we could maybe say, hey, since you're going to be doing this, would you consider, you know, we're not even necessarily asking for a subsidy, finding, I don't know, but we'd have to talk to the council.
I'm not sure that would fly.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's not something we should, I don't know.
I think the directly approach the council is out of scope of the commission responsibility. Get shot down there. What I think the best way to approach it, and I'll throw us out as a straw man, everyone can throw spears at it, but as a straw man, we propose a joint venture. The Civil Service Commission is its own legal entity, separate from the city. Okay? So we propose a joint venture between the Civil Service Commission and the city. The Civil Service Commission, you know, has an interest in testing process and selection criteria. A component of that selection criteria is being able to attract qualified candidates. So that's our hook. That part of the puzzle sits
but
within the commission's box.
If I could just interject a little bit here, I'm not seeing that as the issue for our getting qualified candidates. It could be, and I don't know about it, but you know, that maybe they're not saying they want to go to Bainbridge Island because of that, so I don't see them on the list.
The idea is being able to compete for the best qualified candidates.
Yeah, but I think you might have a little
this is beyond my purview too, so this is really not what we should be talking about actually, but I think if, you know, when you're talking about public service as a value of the city, then you're getting a larger potential support for doing something like this. And, you know, you maybe talking to the city manager is the right way to sort of explore, you know, just as this came up in the process of talking about recruitment in general, looks like, is there any possibility? I mean, you guys could choose someone to represent you, but not as a civil service commission, but to maybe float this idea.
Yeah, of,
I don't quite see this
as being a conflict. I mean, this is
not a conflict. It's out of bounds.
Well, but
it is beyond. But it's an idea you want to have.
But I mean, I don't think it's meeting with the city manager, like what you're saying, I mean, it's simply raising this as an idea and seeing what they would say.
Oh, no, that's good. Yeah,
I don't think there's any harm in that.
No, it's a great idea.
I mean, I'm happy to talk with her. I don't care. I'd be happy to go and say, hey, you know, we're now in the middle of this. Would you consider something like this?
But it has to be a joint venture between the commission and the city, or entirely on the city, to be able to get legally done.
And I agree, but I understand what you're saying, Eileen. It may not, at this point in time, is it something that someone's deciding, no, but I think more for the retention issues, and maybe I do think this is the sort of thing in the future that may be valuable. Is it right now a pressing thing?
Yeah.
I probably tend to agree with you that it's probably not.
Yeah, but it's a forward-thinking idea.
But it's something that probably in a few years may be.
It has
something.
Community-wide ramifications, I think.
I know you're going to hear John speak on that point at the conference. And history has shown himself to be pretty good.
Okay, do you want me to do anything with this, or should we just table this for a different
venue? I think let's try this. Dan has a lot of good points. It's a lot of the city interest. This is one that may be good to approach the city manager. You know, cup of coffee in hand, go, hey, the commission talked about this point. You know, they realize it's not entirely a commission issue. There's also a lot of city issues involved here. For this common benefit, can we make this happen? And then see what kind of reception you get. I think you'll get a warm one. I think, let's see what we can do and explore. I doubt very much you'll say, there's a door, you know, go through it. Because I would say the worst that they can do is laugh at you and say no. But the best that could happen.
How do you want to approach it then?
Well, I think just meet with the city manager, schedule a meeting with her, and
talk
with her.
You're
going to
do it?
Sure, I'm happy to do it. Anybody else wants to participate, it's fine.
I wonder about Eileen, too, as our person here, one or both of you and Eileen. And I think it's, you know, what are their efforts going on already? There might be. And could she see a role for the Civil Service Commission with that?
Right.
And if she says it's rolling or whatever, then we also as individuals can decide if we want to be part in that.
Yeah.
I think asking her if she would see a role for us,
asking Morgan,
in moving that forward would be.
And again, but we do have to give her some reasons why we think this is necessary.
Right.
And so part of it is we think it might help with it. We don't have any evidence at this point to know for sure that it would make the difference. I mean, we can ask Scott. I don't know. Are there?
You know, it's kind of a.
It's a tough question.
Kind of an inter-community sort of approach that you're really looking to find out the answers to, right? So it might be the school district head, and maybe it's the police chief, and maybe it's different parts of our public service delivery here on the island that could be. Maybe advocates for this concept.
And is there still an intergovernmental group that meets? It used to be that the police chief and the superintendent of schools and the parks.
I used to be on the
hall.
House of Fire Commissioner.
Well, I know there was ongoing meetings between the chief and the superintendent.
Yeah.
At least once or twice.
It didn't meet with lots of hard agenda from a while ago, but are they now? Is that a good... They could resurface that group?
Well, like I said, I know the chief meets on a regular basis with the school superintendent.
There's a lot of commonality there. So,
I don't know. Scott, do you think that having something like this would be something that people that some of the individuals in the department would be interested in taking advantage of? Would it help us in recruiting?
I think somewhat. In fact, I think the way they put it out there for the advertising for the new chief is said preferable. I think it was
preferable. Yeah, totally. That's correct. I remember just going to say that, yeah.
Now, there will be some officers who say, I don't want to live in a community of police for a variety of reasons.
Obviously, yeah.
But there's those of us that have lived here, you know, the whole time we've worked here, just about.
Well, what about some officers who are currently commuting here? If they had the opportunity to take advantage of some sort of reserved or somewhat subsidized housing or anything, do you think there would be some who would?
I think there would. I'd have to take some kind of informal poll and get
if you could. That would be helpful, because if we're going to go make the case to the city manager, it would be good to have at least some semblance of. I mean, what do you all think? I don't know.
You know, Jay, I think out of respect to the city manager, I think the first contact was city manager, because if there were any back channel information from the police department gave the city manager before she heard about it from the commission, that could be unfortunate.
I think a little back, though, from Eileen, I heard Scott say, yes, there are exit interviews, and that Kate has access to that, so within your department.
Yeah,
and if interesting to see if anybody left because it's more affordable to live.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. That would be great. And then you have a little more evidence to make the case. Anything we can bring to says this is why we think it will.
Just a personal one that I had, though, backing up Scott's notion, is it Detective Ledbetter?
Ledbetter?
Yeah, I did popcorn with him.
Yeah.
And he has a partner and they've purchased a home in Kingston and are pleased with that and glad to be there, I know.
So we probably should take these ideas maybe offline and then out of this format.
I don't think we're talking about anything.
It needs the next move, and that's something just an inquiry to see what the city manager's feeling is to go forward. But the bottom line is, I think rather than doing recruit, we need to pay equal attention to retention and to targeting our recruitment. And this would be a good tool to do both.
So I'm taking action item to check with Kate on recidivism and you know what's going on with that.
Absolutely.
But were you taking action items for yourselves or?
I missed something there.
Are you going to set something up?
I'm happy to talk with her at some point. Yeah, once we have that information from Kate, let's get, and then maybe a little information from Scott.
Okay, how about we talk about that the next meeting?
Yes, at the next meeting. And once we have a little more data to kind of present to her to say, here's why. Because, I mean, the first thing she's going to say to us, well,
and it does go outside
how do you know this is going to result in?
And we're asking Scott
correct.
To do informal.
Informally, just to see if there would be, if again, and we have to be careful with what Richard is saying. It's not so much a subsidy; it's more of some sort of participation. The city's already making a substantive investment in this. Why not benefit the community? Not just in addition. I mean, it can be a win on two levels, in my opinion. I'm surprised that the teachers haven't, or other, you know what I'm saying, looked into this as well.
And that's what I wonder what, with the education world, there have been some things, some benefits that they've had for housing, but I don't know, specific to this development.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, any other topics? Okay, moving right along. Report by the chief.
Okay, well I apologize for the chief had another meeting same time. Little bit earlier, so I took this one and he took the one out of town, so I don't have too much to report. Eileen already mentioned we gave a conditional offer to a lateral applicant, and we should know in about 2 weeks from today whether he's passed all the the medical, the polygraph, those types of things.
Do we know where he's working now?
Yes, it's a small town north of Atlanta.
We should not be discussing it.
We do.
Okay. Moving right along.
And so that leaves one opening, potentially, if this other one gets filled. So,
do we have candidates for that opening at this point?
Maybe.
We do.
Okay. No, I just went off if there's anything in the process.
Yeah, well, we're going to start those interviews in about,
Yeah, hopefully we'll get some good
30 days,
so out of that.
Okay, good.
We won't know maybe by next meeting, but we'll know the meeting after that.
Great. What day is it? October?
October 8th and 9th.
8th and 9th.
Yeah.
And would that be the end of our allocation then, if we were to fill
we
that
have
position?
Two openings right now.
Right.
So if this lateral makes it, that would be one. If the other is, that would be one more.
Okay. Well, that would be good. Certainly.
Okay.
Other than that, I don't see anything else on the horizon that's going to come to civil service anyway. Anybody have any questions for me about what's going on? Or?
Yeah, I'm curious about the hiring process for the new chief. Tell us within boundaries, of course.
I can honestly say I don't know anything about it.
Okay.
Yeah, the chief's outside the commission.
Yeah, I know it's been, there's been another firm that's got a contract.
Right, I do know that, yeah.
Other than that, I don't know anything else about it.
Okay. And that is outside the commission.
Any questions for the chief? Deputy chief? Okay, moving right along. We held the public comment, and nobody has shown up. So that leaves us with only the adjournment.
Right on time.
And with that, we are adjourned.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.